Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I would say our excuse basket is running, real low.
He's hot.
Oh.
Hotter than Jimmy G.
Dale Arnold.
We watched him be Superman against the Seattle Seahawks, but every time he's been Clark Kent, this team has looked extremely bad.
I'm no Superman.
Cam Newton sucks.
Rich Keefe.
You know, I've seen this one on the calendar for a while. Excitement.
Go on.
It's crazy how life can change in 3 years.
Jimmy G is a motherfucker. Star.
Oh, yes. Dale and Keefe with Fitzy on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know, I hate to start with inside radio stuff right at the top of the show, but let's let the boys and girls, a peek behind the fourth wall here, because it is coincidence, right, that we had someone pick the game, the Thursday night game, pick it correctly last night. And Chris Shimes not here today.
All right, let's make a pick. Eagles, Giants. Who do you like? It looks like it's Giants.
Decisive pick, by the way.
Oh,
Decisive pick. 1-0. We call that a heater in this biz.
That's
Fitzy.
A heater guy.
She's on a heater, so we have somebody picking games.
So did someone kneecap Shime between last night's game and this morning?
Let's just say I got a couple friends in Chelsea who made a little late.
It was a marked van with tinted windows. It was right outside the station earlier.
Well, I haven't seen him since. I think
he's feeling the heat a hooked bit. Me up with some people.
Is that right?
Yeah. Well, he's a Chelsea
heat.
Boy.
Just a little bit, because he knows that somebody's coming for that segment. Shime usually gives four picks for Fitzy to bet, and he has all year, and it has not gone well at all.
And Dale, you'll appreciate the reference. I can't believe it, but Shime just got Wally pipped by a 1-year-old.
By the way, cute as a button 1-year-old.
Oh, yeah. And she can pick games.
In addition to the fact that she is on a heater right now with her game pick, she's also upgrades the physical attractiveness quotient of our show by 1,000%.
So she's going to pick another game.
Just call Shime ugly, Dale?
He's calling Shime ugly.
All of us.
He's just piling on Shime.
What are you talking? Excuse me, Dale.
Speak for yourself.
Dale, excuse me.
Which one of you thinks you're cuter than the 1-year-old?
This is a handsome contest every day.
Dale, excuse me. Do you not like...
WEEI.com, top four hottest members of the Dale and Keith program. Number one, John. Number two, Fitzy.
This Ocean State job lot version of Phil from Modern Family? I know. Rich, dare I say, I think that might be, having followed you on Twitter for some time now, that could be your most liked tweet ever.
It might be.
That or the sword videos. It's hard to say.
Literally, really. Swords and kids, that's fine. Everything else, shut
by
up.
By the way, keep them separate.
I was going to say,
wait till
I combine the two. That's a game changer.
Is she going as the bride from Kill Bill for Halloween?
Yes, she is. How'd you know?
Perfect costume. Perfect costume.
How'd you know? We got a little tracksuit. Or she's going to actually wear the yellow tracksuit. So she'll pick a game. Shime did leave us with a game, Dale, and I don't know if that's the best or worst thing that can happen, but it's his best pick. It's his best pick.
Yeah, but he only makes four, for God's sake.
Well, he's narrowing it down to one.
Well, he hasn't been hitting more than one a week,
I know.
Dale.
He gives you one a week, so we're only asking one. We're asking for one. Fitzy, you're going to make a pick.
All right, I just want you guys to know, mine has already won. I just haven't collected yet.
And then the other thing we're going to do is, are we going to try to get a caller going?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Right. Yes, we are, because right. Steve in the car called. He was 50% right on Monday when he called in.
Which means he was wrong.
But he was also halfway to winning.
Except he didn't win.
And that's part of the journey, Dale.
We call it a parlay. You kind of have to get both parts right, don't all you? Right. I mean, I'm not a gambling guy like you guys are. But...
You and your semantics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I mean, I know the devil's in the details, but come on. We just it's not about the destination, but the journey at this point.
Last night said the Giants, take the Giants, get the points.
Yeah, she loved the points.
And she nailed it.
She said, take the points.
Only the Eagles could not find a way to beat the to beat the Giants by more than a single point.
That game was hard watch.
Did I
watch all of it?
Yes, I did.
I did not. I watched the debate.
I didn't watch a second of that.
And went over. I did. Oh God, yeah, I had to. But
you
had
to. Are you still undecided?
No, God. It's funny. We had this
tough choice this year.
We had this discussion in my household.
Yeah.
Is there anybody left on the planet who's truly undecided?
No.
I mean, they always talk, well, we surveyed a group of undecided voters. Really?
No, it's because these are just people who want to be a part of surveys.
Yes.
So they say, sure, I'm undecided, and let's just spend some time and talk to me.
I just can't figure this one out.
Nobody else will have a conversation with me, so maybe you will.
But Dale, you know that like almost 50 million people have voted, so the election is halfway to over, if not three quarters over, depending on how many people actually vote.
I think they said something like 40% of the vote total from 2016 have already voted.
I voted. Yeah, I already voted. I watched the first debate. I watched the VP debate, and I said, you know what? I'm going to watch some crappy football instead tonight. And I sat down and I watched Eagles Giants.
Well, you did correctly predict it was going to be crappy
football. That's the greatest indictment. That is the greatest indictment of the state of our country. You chose to shame watch a battle of one win teams competing for first place.
Oh, they're right there. The Eagles are
over
in first place
the
now,
presidential.
Right?
Yes, they're at 2-4.
My pick for the division winner, our preseason picks. I had the Eagles.
You're flying high right now.
Oh, God.
But the league actually had to be happy that if they were going to put a Thursday night game against the debate, it might as well
be the
worst one, right? You don't want to have like a good matchup and have it get smoked. Mm. So but that was gross. That was a gross way to start the week. But here we are, week 7.
We'll talk more about that a little bit later on. Michael Irvin, and just to give you an update on times here because it shuffled a little bit, Michael Irvin's going to join us at 12:30 today. I can't wait for him to give a moment-by-moment analysis of the Daniel Jones run, which just blew up Twitter, and we'll bring about a special Boom Roasted edition to
Yeah, there's a Boom Roasted there for young Danny Dimes.
Did you actually see somebody tweeted out, he actually reached a higher top speed than any quarterback since like 2015 or 16
or something. I think it was 18.
Whatever. And 20 something miles. Really? What the hell happened?
Dale, he was
so
fast.
No, he's fast.
No, I know. He said he was trying to run faster.
So,
Tyreek Hill actually tweeted about how fast Danny Dimes was.
Danny Dimes is fast.
He's got wheels.
He runs well. They had the stat last night. I believe Lamar Jackson, Cam Newton and Daniel Jones are the quarterbacks who lead their teams in rushing. And so, I mean, that also has a state about their running backs. And
one of those teams
is
very good.
Yes.
Really?
But the thing about Danny Dimes is he was running and there were so far behind him that he could have just slowed to a jog and he would have scored.
Well, it looked like that one Eagle was kind of closing a little bit.
But he only had 10 yards to go. He could have put that thing into
I'm watching it again right now.
Gear.
He has 10.
He's
got
10
at
yards
the 20
on him.
And he has 8 yards on the guy. The guy's
running out of gas. Turf Monster wins.
Oh, man. Teammates are laughing at him.
That's the worst. When everybody on your sideline is busting a gut laughing at you.
At least they scored on that drive because were they not
didn't
to
look
have
like they were going
drive,
to.
Were, oh, my God.
They stink.
All right, so let's turn our attention to the Patriots for a moment. Does it make you feel any better that Cam Newton acknowledges how bad they've been so far? Like, he's very willing to say, hey, that's on me. We got to be better. All right, great. I like that.
Yeah,
about if you play better?
It's like Chris Sale, isn't it? Remember Chris Sale?
Oh,
I don't know what's going on.
Say the right stuff.
Hey, that's cool, Chris. Go out there and strike a guy out, would you? Chris Sale always said the right things and always put all of the blame on himself. And you're like, all right, good. He's taking accountability. But it didn't really matter until he went out there and pitched well. And unfortunately for him, all the injuries caught up to him, and he didn't pitch this year. Last year was like really a bad year for him. But it's better than just kind of being like, we're fine. We're fine. Because, no, we're watching you, and you're not fine. So, yeah, it's all about the results and what you do on the field. But, I mean, Cam says the right stuff.
Let's hear Cam yesterday. He had his video conference session with the media. And he was talking specifically about the plight of the Patriots offense.
I'm saying we have a better preparation, method
with this week. You know, not making any excuses. I'm just saying, you know, we put ourselves in a better situation to win. I just say it like that. Not saying that we didn't have the capabilities of winning last week, because we did. We had our opportunities. You know, for us as an offense, we know that our excuse basket is running, you know, real low. You know, we're getting guys back that we missed for weeks. And, you know, even though we're missing a couple other guys, but we got enough to compete with anybody. And I mean anybody. So
this team isn't very good anymore.
Oof.
Oh.
All right. You got enough to compete with everyone. But, Cam, here's the question I have for you. Yeah. Do you have enough to beat everyone or anyone? Beat any? Well, they can beat anyone. I mean, come on. If they don't beat the Jets.
They couldn't beat Denver.
No, they couldn't.
They did not.
And that was as fugly as they get. That was an awful, awful game. Like I said, during our Optimist Prime versus Negatron, yes. Guys, it's out of their system. They were truly affected by COVID-19.
You always have a bad game. No, injuries.
Oh, I know. It sounds like a cacophony, a symphony of disasters.
And like to Cam's point, I mean, it's one thing for us to make excuses or point out facts or whatever you want to call it. The players can't use that. And Cam's even saying, listen, we have a full week of practice and the offensive line is pretty healthy now. So what are you possibly going to say? How are you going to spin that into like, what chance do we have? And again, to go real positive on you,
that's what we count on from you.
Well, because things do look pretty bad. I mean, how often have the Patriots been 2-3, and how often do they have like a horrible loss to the Broncos?
Twice since the millennium turned.
Yeah. So again, one game, your defense played well, and you had your backup quarterbacks play, and you lost to the best team in the league. The undefeated Seattle Seahawks, you had a goal. They had a goal line stop to beat you, and then the Broncos, as ugly as that game was, you didn't give up a touchdown defensively, and I don't know, if the quarterback makes one play, you probably win the game. Now, I know, like, Keith, they're 2-3. They're not 5-0. Yeah, I understand that. But it's not like they're out there getting blown out or they didn't belong on the field with any of these teams. So I do have confidence that they can turn it around. And San Francisco is not this great team. They have had so many injuries. We said that same thing about Denver. But the Patriots are healthier this week. They do not have the practice excuse, which Bill was trying to give them before. They're going to have a full week of practice. And, again, the offensive line is going to look more like it normally has. And Cam Newton's been back in the facility more than he has. So it's a huge game, because if you go out there and look like you did against Denver, I don't know what the hell we can say. I don't know what possible excuse you can come up for.
I'll tell you exactly what you can say if they look like they did against Denver.
You're done.
You're not very good.
You're done.
So this
then I'll be on Teddy Bruschi's side. If they go out there and play the same way this weekend, then I'll have to change my tune.
You know me. I'm the firmest believer. I'm the biggest Foxborough fanboy. I am your Pats pal, and I'll tell you straight up, this is a must-win game. I said it Monday. I said it Wednesday. I'll say it Friday. They have to win this game. They are on the way to irrelevance. So much so that this morning I was watching Good Morning Football, and I heard Dale, both Peter Schrager and Nate Burleson, two guys that are hardly hot take artists, each working different sides of the football analyst street, say the same thing. If the Patriots lose this game, we're not so sure that they're that interesting anymore, because they're going to prove themselves not worthy of primetime discussion, and it's just going to be one of those years. And until they find their identity, Nate Burleson even described them as a bunch of different guys at the same party all listening to different music, that they're not on the same page. Wow. So that's what we need to see today.
Well, how about, I mean,
that's what we need to see Sunday.
You're right, because how many 2-4 teams are you like, I can't wait to watch them play? Right? Like, even if because even if the schedule's tough, you're like, you lost a couple of games. You're not 2-4, though. And well, so they are facing that. Now, I think I half agree with Fitzy. The game's obviously huge, but they have two games before the trade deadline, and that second game is the Bills. And that's what's going to matter, because the AFC East could soon, you know, collapse into the NFC East. Maybe not that bad, where we saw it last night, but in which there might be two divisions this year where the winner doesn't have 10 wins. Definitely the NFC East, and maybe also the AFC East. So then that head-to-head game becomes make or break.
That's going to be wild.
That's it.
That's the two Bills games. All right. But the Bills are ticketed for the easiest dub.
They're
going to
win this
of the
week.
NFL.
Yes.
So in your mind, even if they go 2-4,
it's
the
not
make
over
or break
is the Bills game.
The crux of the season is Sunday the 1st.
Yes.
At Sex Object Stadium.
Correct.
Wow.
Yep.
Well, oh, my God.
There has been some criticism.
I can't. But at the same time, I can. And,
and you will.
And I will. But I'll go on the record. They're winning Sunday.
There's been some criticism in these parts. I won't say guilty of it. I've been proud of it. Some criticism about the play of your quarterback, who, let's be honest, hasn't been very good very much this year. Again, to his credit, and the accountability bucket is still full, he said yesterday about the same thing that we've been saying.
I just haven't been good. I haven't matched enough good plays together for my liking. And that's what it comes down to. And when I mean good plays, I mean right reads, I mean ball positioning, I mean, you know, making guys miss. I mean, just the whole gamut of how I play. I know what I'm capable of, and my standard is extremely high, and I haven't been meeting it, my personal standard. So that's how I feel.
See, I don't think he's been bad. I think he's trending in the complete wrong direction. I think he went good game, okay game, bad game.
Yep.
So he's been more good than bad, in my opinion. He ran the ball dominantly against Miami, didn't have to throw it that much. When he did, he was extremely accurate. He was 15 of 19, and they won that game because of the running game. Against Seattle, he threw for almost 400 yards. The Raiders, he was not very good in the first half at all, better in the second half, and they were able to win. And then he was terrible in the Broncos game. So if you're basing it all on the Broncos game, yeah, he was garbage. But for the season, he's been better than not.
I think it's similar to last year when Tom Brady was the most miserable 8-0 quarterback on the planet, when we saw a lot of sad Tom Brady. I think that Cam Newton knows that in this day and age in the National Football League, if you can't successfully throw the football on a consistent basis, you're probably not going to win. And he's really only had one good game of throwing the football, and as you pointed out yesterday, Rich, against a putrid pass defense in Seattle. So I think he's looking at, even if the Miami game was okay, it was good, he has to throw the ball better than he has.
You're going to have to throw the ball 40 times in a game more than you're going to have to run the ball 40 times in a game.
I know. Yeah.
And that was definitely anomalous because that's one of the five. That's the Death Star compactor room of garbage of a secondary in Seattle. They're terrible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely awful. But if Cam Newton goes out Sunday against the injury-ravaged defense of the San Francisco 49ers and has another bad game, we might start thinking, how's me and Belichick going to mesh? Mm-hmm. Maybe not as well as we had hoped in the first place. But I think in a lot of ways, San Francisco is the perfect team for the Patriots to play this Sunday because you've got a good enough team that you have to prove it against. Right. And with the whole dynamic that I know we've been talking all week.
Who's the quarterback on
Jimmy,
the other team?
Yeah.
It was great, baby.
Yeah.
Jimmy G versus Cam Newton. This is absolutely perfect because you can see what your future maybe should have been versus what it is, and now Cam has a prime opportunity, knowing how emotional or sort of emotional this will be for the Crafts, but especially for Belichick. Oh, it should have been Jimmy G. Like, nope, I'm the guy you got. I'm healthy. I've had a chance to go to practice all week. It's my turn to show you I belong and that we're a good team.
As he said, the excuse bucket is empty now. There are no excuses for losing this weekend's game. None. You're home. You're playing against a good, not great team. You're not playing against Kansas City. You're not playing against, Baltimore.
Seattle, nope.
It's a good team. It's not a great team. You have no excuses. If you go out and don't perform this weekend, you might be done, son. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll get to the calls with you guys in just a little bit. Greg and those guys were asking me about something Stephon Gilmore said. It is interesting. I don't know if I put the same import on it as they did, but we'll talk about that as well. Michael Irvin at 12:30. We've had to shuffle the timing deck a little bit. Devin McCourty will join us. We just don't know the exact time yet. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Back to Dale and Keith with Fitzy.
Everybody loves a good streaming D.
Why is he the way that he is?
On WEEI.
So when I did the crossover this morning with Greg and Wiggy and Danielle, they brought up a Stephon Gilmore tweet from yesterday. Now, he doesn't tweet a lot. He had not tweeted in 5 days prior to that. And he put out a tweet 13 hours ago now. And it was a short, sweet, and to-the-point tweet. It just said, saw a lot of people's true colors in 2020.
Wow.
Now, Greg and Wiggy immediately think he's talking about Bill Belichick. I don't know if that's true or not.
It's months since they tried trading him. There were reports.
And they gave him a raise. And gave him some of the money from next year. And
it
gave
was
it this year.
Right around that time where publicly we found out that they were trying to trade him. So if you were going to do the cryptic, like, oh, I saw your true colors tweet, right? Like, he seems like a little kid. But if you're going to do that, wouldn't you have done it earlier? If that's what it's about, I mean. Like, wouldn't you have tweeted that out earlier about the true colors thing? This seems a little bit different. I don't know if this is about Belichick.
I don't think it's about that.
No emojis, by the way, Dale, which is too bad because I know we like to decipher the emojis.
Then you can get, that's kind of fun.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, no face palm, no cry laughter, none of that. It's almost like we should like create a poll over. Do you think Steph Gilmore said people showing their true colors because of COVID, because of the dinner, because of the raise, because Belichick? I think.
By the way, when he was asked about the dinner,
yep.
He was not going there. He wasn't talking about
wasn't
it.
Having
He's not
it.
Talking about it.
Wasn't having
the
it.
The first response to his tweet is a guy saying, again, his tweet is, saw a lot of people's true colors in 2020, and the guy, Frosty, tweeted, what, Humphrey is better than you, and this is your dad? And it's a gif of DK Metcalf scoring a touchdown.
Ah, see, you know, I think it's actually in response to people. He
Bull
thinks,
roasted.
Wow. Front running and being critical of him. I do. I think that's what it's in response to.
Him, you think? I mean, yeah. I was definitely critical, and other people were as well. The first three weeks. Because he was good in the Kansas City game, and I started to feel a lot better about it. But all of his pass interference penalties, I mean, was that us or was that him? Like, he had more pass interference penalties this season through three games than he did all of last season.
That was sort of a black and white statistical breakdown, wasn't it?
Kind of was. And the fact that game two, the Seahawks are targeting the defensive player of the year
going
with
right
their
at him.
Second year wide receiver. What yep. I mean, what is that?
Oh, what, did he not have a preseason?
No, that's okay. You know what? When you're the DK. Defensive, yeah, neither did anybody. So you can't use that excuse like, oh, I needed to tune up. Yeah, well, guess what? Their game plan said we're going to use our big giant Terrell Owens wide receiver to target your defensive player of the year cornerback, and we think we have the advantage. And guess what? They did. And I read a lot of criticism that people threw back at our way from the first couple weeks where we were, I'd say, probably mildly critical of Steph Gilmore's play. Sorry for just saying it like it is. Oh, you're a bad Pats fan. Come on, you know he's great. Yes, he's a great player. Yeah, he was the defensive player of the year last year. Yeah, he kind of stunk in the final game of the year. Yeah, he had a bad stretch. Yes, he's playing better now. Right. But fact of the matter is, he had some bad games. He did get COVID-19. And now things seem to be a little awkward. So
do you think it has more to do? I think it probably does have more to do with COVID than it's on field play.
Well, I wonder if there was some criticism internally. I wonder if there was some discussion internally about, you know, who got it? How did they get it? What happened?
What happened?
We still, yeah, I know. We still don't know if we assume that Cam Newton was patient one, may or may not be true, but if we assume that, we still don't know how he got it.
So but I also wonder, I don't think a lot of people cared about their dinner. I think there was almost like an expectation like that was going to become this big story, and it wasn't. And then his wife tweeted like, oh, there was no dinner. And then Schefter's like, there was a dinner. And then there's like semantics on it. That nobody really cares. And guess how many games Gilmore missed? None. So nobody cares about that. So I feel like the timing of the tweet is odd. Like, was he getting criticized for getting COVID? He's not the only guy on the team. He's certainly not the only guy in the league to get it. And he bounced right back. So I don't know what this is about. Is it on field play?
There was internal discussion. I wonder if there were talks amongst teammates about, hey, what's going on here? Now we're up to 8 guys who are on the COVID-19 list.
I think I got it.
What is it?
Okay.
Teddy Bruschi.
Ooh.
Saying they're not good anymore. Oh. And he's like, okay, all right, Teddy, you don't think we're good anymore? Boom. That's what it is.
Maybe.
Okay. Hey, Sunday.
Hey.
Pats by 100. Actually, you know, and when I referenced...
not very good anymore.
Oh, Gilmore heard that?
Not good anymore.
That's an old one, but that counts too.
I got to say, listening to that live and then on replay, it cut deep.
I think Gilmore might be talking about that.
Hearing Bruschi talk about that. I will say, Dale...
not very good anymore.
Oh, Teddy. Teddy. I will say this, Dale. Just following or yes-anding the Good Morning Football thing I referenced earlier where... Schrager and Nate Burleson said the Patriots might soon merit not primetime discussion anymore because they might not be a good team. Kyle Brandt flew in right afterwards and said, let's be honest, though. Belichick is still the coach. He hasn't lost his fastball. There's plenty of talent on the team, but can we just all step back and realize that they have been beset by COVID worse than any other team in the league, and maybe they need a little time to get their house in order because
I feel like the Titans got hit worse.
Titans got hit a lot worse.
Titans had to miss an entire game. I mean, I guess the Patriots did too, or they bumped it anyway.
Right.
And they had like 20-something cases, and it kept going and going and going. And
the Raiders had to send their entire offensive line home this week.
But the Titans have Thanos.
They do
have Thanos. That makes up for a lot. And they have a literal Titan throwing the football.
They have a lot more talent.
What if the Raiders can't actually play because they don't have an offensive line?
You got to go. Next man up.
Can Trent Brown's tattoo play for him?
No. Busy.
Very busy.
A little busy right now.
Very busy. So we don't think that Gilmore was referring to Belichick.
We don't think
he was referring to coaching.
I'll say Bruschi. That'd be my guess.
Well, and that's fair.
Maybe there are others that are starting to pile on the Patriots, and you know, as soon as they fall to 2-3, they're writing them off. Maybe that's what he's going with.
I will second the senator's motion. Okay. I'm going to go in on the Bruschi angle too. I think in the locker room, if that's true, and if this is what sort of furthered that, if this is what gave birth to that tweet. I think in the locker room, there's probably a lot of guys that are pissed. Like, wait a second. Mm-hmm. This is Teddy Bruschi. This is an all-time Patriot. And instead of having our back, he's criticizing us, saying that we're not good anymore.
Bruschi was on with those guys Wednesday. Is that right? He was on Wednesday, and then he tweeted this out Thursday. So maybe by the time I got to him, that's as good as I could think. I mean, maybe there are some others. Or maybe he's heard more criticism from people he knows about getting COVID type of thing. Maybe that also. I think it has less to do with his play because he's actually been better the last couple of games. You know?
That Denver threw at him once Sunday. Right.
Let's go back to Cam Newton and refer back to the coaching question as well, because one of the questions Cam answered yesterday was about the Patriots' inability, inexplicably to this point, to get young wide receivers, or any wide receivers for that matter, more involved in the offense right now.
I think you're making too much about involve. I think our focus is winning. And as players, we execute what we're asked to do. And from the quarterback's position, you know, no matter what Josh calls, it's up to us to execute it. It's up to me to get the balls in the right guy's hands and not necessarily play favorites, more so the go where the defense is telling you to go with the football. And that's what it comes down to. You know, I'm in this position to win football games. And the last couple of games, that hasn't been the case. You know, before I sit up here and try to get people involved, oh, I would love that more than anything. But more importantly than that, you got to win.
That's kind of what it boils down to.
Well, right. And that's why you're going to have game plans. Sometimes it looks like Miami. Other times it's going to look like Seattle. And they're going to have to
depending on what the opposing defense strengths are, kind of go against that. That's what they're going to have to do, and that's when we give Josh McDaniels credit for being, you know, game plan specific. And so it's not going to look the same as, you know, Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson winning a game. They don't have that. Most teams in the league don't have that. So some games, you know, Cam Newton is going to, you know, run for 80 yards and throw for 100. And then other games, it's going to have to be a lot better. It's going to have to be more one-sided throwing the ball. It's going to change every week.
If there's anything that's going to flash the rest of the way in lopsided or decided victories, it's going to be like in the Raiders game,
mm-hmm.
where they just ran the ball all over them like they were like a mid-80s SEC team just optioning and just powering mm-hmm. through those guys. I do like the way the offensive line is potentially setting up for this weekend, though, and I think this
is
the offensive line.
Right?
Well, it can't be like it was last week, especially when your ranks are bolstered by having a couple of Super Bowl champs and all pros coming back mm-hmm. like Andrews and Mason. But if you can ride the rest of the season out with Wynn, Tooney, Andrews, Mason, Onwenu, that's pretty
good.
That's going to help them a ton. But I'll tell you, running on the 49ers is not as easy as throwing against them. And that's what they're going to have to do Sunday.
And that's the. I thought Andy Hart made a really good point yesterday when he said, from a coaching perspective, you've got to find out if your first-round draft pick wide receiver is a player or not, which means there are going to be times when you got to feed him the ball. You've got to almost force it to him at times to find out, because if he's not a player, if he's not worthy of a first-round pick, well, you're in a heap of trouble then.
I mean, if you look at last night's game, the Eagles, and they're both bad teams, but just play it out for a second. Travis Fulgham, your guy, Fitzy.
Yes.
He was like a sixth-round pick, then got cut by the Lions, then signed by the Eagles. Because of all the injuries they had, they threw to him 11 times yesterday and all different things, like just focused in on him and like, prove to me that you can't do it. And that's kind of what you have to do with N'Keal Harry.
Yes.
We're gonna go to you.
Yeah.
We're not going to have you do an option route because we know you can't figure it out. So we're going to tell you quick, easy, simple things to do and see if you can do it.
And guess what? He scored again last night.
Who, Fulgham? No, he didn't.
Didn't he?
I don't think so.
I think Fulgham scored last night.
I don't think so.
Oh. Well, I apologize.
Never mind.
I'll dump it.
But guess what? Dump that, John. But still, the guy came from Detroit didn't want him, and he becomes a wide receiver. He's got more catches
than Harry.
Guy. Come on now.
We'll talk to Devin McCourty. He's coming up next on a Patriots Friday. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fitzy joins Dale and Keefe every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WEEI.
It is a Patriots Friday. We'll talk to Devin McCourty in just a couple of minutes. And because of scheduling issues, Michael Irvin got moved to 12:30 today. But the Free Money Friday will still take place at 1:30 today, at which point, quite honestly, CC Keefe is probably going to push Shime completely off the show.
I think she's looking for another winner today.
Does she know how to cut audio?
Quick question. You know what? Probably.
Bring her in.
She's advanced.
Does she enjoy eating tortellini in bed?
Not yet. Not yet. That's what separates her from Shime at this point.
Can she pull my host's words and take their words out of context and put them in opens every day?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
Or vending machine chicken parm.
Uh-huh.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is Patriot Safety Devin McCourty. Our conversation with Devin is brought to you by Town Fair Tire and by Zooty. Build any apps your company needs fast. Visit Zooty.com for details. Good morning, Devin. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing well.
It feels like it's a little more normal down there this week, doesn't it?
Yeah, man. I probably think everybody covering the team is a little bit more normal. You have the daily interviews and everything going on that way. And I think for us, just being, you know, back in the building fully of, you know, being able to go through our meetings in person, hit the practice field and, you know, do your normal I would say pre-practice, post-practice treatments to, you know, feel your best on Sunday. So it's felt really good just to be back to normal.
And Devin, I know when we talked to you earlier in the year, you were saying how, you know, as things were going on, all the different protocols kind of became second nature and you got used to how things were. But all of a sudden, when you get a few positives on your team and you're missing practices and then a couple more positives and guys going to the reserve list, does that take away some of your focus from, you know, studying your opponent and then playing in the game, just knowing that there's so many other things going on?
I would say not on an individual basis. I think like your iPad and stuff, you know how the game is now, you're able to still watch film on your iPad, but it just takes away from what we do from a week to week standpoint, you know, not being able to practice stuff. I'm sure you guys have been on a bunch of virtual things, you know, lately. It's a lot different when you're virtually talking about things, especially in football, about, you know, where this guy's going to be, what we're going to do here. And you're kind of trying to simulate that through the computer screen. I would say all of that was really different. You know, we were still studying and doing all that stuff on. We weren't able to physically do it. So it's been good just this week to get back out there, talk about stuff, and then to go practice it, see how it looks, see what we like, what we don't like. That's been really good this week.
If I never had to do a Zoom again, Devin, it would be far too soon. I can't take another invite to a Zoom happy hour. And I'm honest to God, I'm so over it. But hey, listen, you know, this is the new normal, so it is what it is.
Exactly.
I was just curious, you know, when you play a game against a former teammate, especially one that you won big games with, who was on the sideline during some huge moments for you, like Jimmy Garoppolo, how much does emotion factor into that? How much more do you guys get that much more revved up when you're playing a good team, and especially a former teammate like that?
Not any more than usual. Like you said, I think it's a big game, and obviously we're coming off two losses, so we'll be ready to go from that standpoint. But I would honestly say it's pretty cool going against guys that you share some great moments with. You know, we started the season off playing against the Dolphins with Van Noy and E-Rob on defense. Those are two guys I spent a ton of time with. But it's also fun to see guys go other places and still flourish and do well. And it's like going against some of your best friends growing up, you know, some of your friends that you might have played on an AAU team with or something like that. And, you know, you go to your school team playing against them. It's fun. You're competitive. You want to go out there and win. So I'm sure it'll be the same for us Sunday as it will be for Jimmy.
Any advantages to be gained by the fact that you've practiced against Jimmy so often, so many times? Or is the Jimmy Garoppolo that you see on video now different than the one you were practicing against when he was here?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, you're talking about practices from, you know, back to, you know, halfway through 2017. So you'll learn way more from, you know, watching film than you will trying to wrap your mind around, you know, what happened back in 17 and 16. I think you're just better off watching the film. And I think you just know, I think we know as a defense, we go out there, you know, he's not a guy that's going to be rattled. You know, I think those are the things that, you know, sometimes can be hard to see on film. But because we were in the locker room with him, we were with him, you know, starting the season off in 16, you know, trying to replace Tom Brady, the guy didn't blink. Like, he just went in there and he did what he had to do. So I think for us, you know, having him here, we know that going into Sunday, there's not going to be anything that gets him off the spot or has him, you know, kind of frazzled. He's going to be ready to go, and we're going to get his best game.
Teddy Bruschi was on our afternoon show on Wednesday, and he said the Patriots aren't good anymore. What's your response to that?
I mean, I guess you could go down the list of the people who say that. I think for you guys, it's a bigger deal because Teddy Bruschi played here, but I think for the rest of us, you know, we don't have, you know, I think anybody left on the team that played here with Teddy Bruschi. So to me, it's just another person in the media who says we're not good. It kind of is what it is.
I'm curious, Devin, I know you're game prepping for Sunday. Did you happen to see the Daniel Jones play last night?
I saw it on social media.
I'm sure just like the rest of us, you had a good laugh when you saw that. Did you ever have, or have you had a play like that where there was just guaranteed glory in front of you and you just sort of like, you know, Daniel Jones did?
Nah. I'm probably a little bit better athlete than Daniel Jones, and he probably definitely throws the football better than me. So we all have our advantages and our weaknesses.
Bill Belichick talked about how the lack of practice time certainly hurt you last week against Denver. We've talked about things being back a little more to normal this week. Do you find that the practice field time that you guys have had makes you feel better prepared?
Yeah, and I would say we need it. You know, I think we need it as a football team. We're not good enough football team to just say, you know, we'll show up on Sunday and play. We need to go out there and practice and get the feeling right and still practice all our fundamentals and things like that. So, you know, I would definitely say, you know, agree with Bill on that, and we need it. And we won't just need it like this week against San Fran. We need to keep practicing and getting better for all the games, you know, the rest of our season.
I saw Stephon Gilmore tweeted out yesterday, saw a lot of people's true colors in 2020. Do you any idea what he's referring to there?
No, I haven't asked him anything about that. But I'm sure you guys will hear from him some point, and I'm 100% sure someone will ask him about it. But I am not sure about that.
San Francisco is probably going to try and attack you in a lot of different ways, obviously. No matter who's toting the rock, they have a great rushing attack. Kyle Shanahan is a great coach who you know very well from Super Bowl 51, and of course it's Jimmy G. You guys tightened up in the red zone fabulously last week, only giving up 6 field goals. What's going to be the key to defending a team like San Francisco that can try to hurt you a million different ways?
Yeah, I was talking about this the other day in the production meeting, but just making sure everyone kind of fills out the responsibilities and deals with the defense asks of them. You know, I think they're a team who they run the ball very well, like you said, and off that running game. They do a great job of setting up play-action passes. So we just have to make sure the guys who are designated in the defense to play to run, play to run. The guys who are designated in a different defense to play to pass, play to pass. And I think we have to stick to that no matter what happens on a play. You know, if they make a play in the run game, we can't have the guy that's in the deep half, you know, now trying to think he has to step up and help the guys in the run game because then they'll kill us. They do a great job of making even their play-action passes, doing it right off the certain run plays they have. So, yeah, he's a heck of a player. You know, you see him. To me, one of the things that sticks out is in the blocking game. You know, obviously he can block, but you can see how mad he gets if he does miss a block. Like, it's not just something where he's out there like, man, I got to block so I can catch the ball. Like, he just wants to be a complete player. He gets the ball in his hands. He's trying to throw guys off, and he's trying to stay up. So, you know, and all of that comes with the great route running, obviously good speed, really good speed for a tight end. You turn on the film, you see him make moves at the line of scrimmage and just run a 9 route against Philly, and it's a DB covering him, and he clears the DB. So he's going to be as good of a tight end we play all year.
And it seems like normally it's guys like you in the secondary and linebackers that are delivering the big hits, but George Kittle, when he has the ball, seems as violent as anybody. So what's even the strategy to bring down a runner? Like, once he gets it, like how do you even go about bringing him down?
Yeah, just tackling. You know, it's for anybody that's played football, there's no science to tackling, you know, hard running backs or hard runners. You just got to go in there, put your face in there, and go tackle him. You know, he's going to break a tackle or two, and that's why we got to all run to the ball and gang tackle. But there's no, you know, there's no way of, like, man, try to jump on his back. No. You got to put your face in there, and you got to go tackle him. And that's what it comes down to. We got to do that for 4 quarters each time, and it's not just going to be Kittle. You know, when Deebo Samuel gets the ball, you're going to have to do the same thing. You know, with their whole, all the different backs they have, with McKinnon maybe starting, you know, you're going to have to go tackle him, you know. So, Ayuku, same thing. He runs hard. He's dynamic with the ball in his hand. So, I would say as a whole defensively, you know, we have to walk away from this game saying we tackle well. That's the only way we'll have a chance to win.
Devin, we appreciate the time as always. Good luck this weekend.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Devin. We'll
see. Good luck, Deb. Thanks.
That is Patriot safety Devin McCourty. This week's Verizon matchup features the Patriots defense against a Jimmy G-led offense. Verizon, best network, best unlimited. I know football players are different than us. Well, not different than you, Keith, because you're a football player, but, you know, different than Fitzy and me.
For sure.
Totally.
Like, you know, going into it, it is going to be a miserable afternoon trying to get George Kittle on the ground. You know that, you know, he is going to deliver blows to you worse than any blow you deliver to him.
That's why you can't let him get the ball, because once he gets the ball, he turns into like a Derrick Henry. Like, he's just so violent. And for those guys, I mean, guys like Devin are giving up a ton of size to Kittle. And he's like,
he's 6'4", 250.
But so it's similar
runs
to Gronk.
Like runs like Derrick Henry, angry.
Right, and that's why you have to, and we would always, as Patriots fans, freak out because safeties would go torpedoing to the knees of Gronk, and you're like, get off his knees. But how else do you take him down? Like, what else do you do? Otherwise, you're going to get embarrassed. You're going to be like Josh Norman on the other end of a stiff arm from Derrick Henry. So you have to go super low, or as like Devin said, the gang tackling. Like, you know they're going to they're going to break a tackle or two, but it's some of those run after catches that, and that's what the thing. I know we're going to get into Jimmy Garoppolo coming up. I don't think he is an excellent quarterback, but he has a couple of guys
who are so good.
Yeah, he just has to flip the ball out to them, and then they're going to pick up so many yards after catch.
Right. Last week, I think 7 catches for Deebo Samuel. 6 were behind the line of scrimmage, Dale. 6 of them were behind the line of scrimmage. But if I'm Belichick, I am taking Kittle out of this game, Darren Waller style, and I will live and die by that zone run, and I will take my chances with Ayuk and Deebo over Kittle.
I know you guys don't forget this, but I retweeted a video earlier today, and it's a little highlight video of Ben Coates. And we forget sometimes he wore number 87, too.
Yes, he did.
The Patriots had Rob Gronkowski twice, and you look at the video highlights of Ben Coates, and that reminds me of George Kittle. And you watch, you know, defensive backs try to bring Ben Coates down, and he's just steamrolling guys.
People forget how good Ben Coates was. They honestly do, Dale. Like you said, they had two Gronks. It's just that one was called Gronk, but the other was an absolute monster. And people yesterday, during all of that, the double dynasty team thing, were like, where's Ben Coates? Guys, prime Ben Coates was 94 to 98.
Yeah, he wasn't here.
He was on the Ravens.
How did
in
not have him?
He has a Super Bowl ring from the Ravens in 2000. He wasn't on the Patriots anymore. But that said, and I couldn't wait to retweet that when NFL Throwback put that out last night, Dale. It just, what a monster he was.
Oh, yeah.
In the middle of the 90s.
There's the one guy you could always throw to every single time.
And you know, like Kittle, he could catch. He's got great hands. And then when he gets the ball in his hands, good luck.
There's also like a handful of tight ends that can catch and block in the NFL now. It's like they almost have to be one or the other. And that's, again, why Gronk was so good. It's why Kittle's so good. And, you know, Travis Kelce is going to catch a bunch of passes.
He's a wide receiver.
That's kind of what he is. That's what a lot of them are. And some of them are still, you know, they're good and they're effective. And the Patriots, you'd kill right now for just a pass-catching tight end. But Kittle's just, he's the complete beast. And that's why, you know, Belichick was just going over the top praise for him.
I'm sorry you guys aren't as big a believer in the Aussie breakout day Sunday that we're going to get.
No, that's fine.
I need some shred of evidence.
It's going to happen.
You're not
going
to anything.
It's going to happen.
He plays.
That's going to happen.
He's out there.
Hey, freezing cold booth, make sure you save this for Monday when Devin Asiasi Day happens, okay? Yeah,
we got it.
I'm not going to save it and openly mock you for it when he has 0 catchers for 0 yards.
No.
Why would I ever do that?
No. I'll do the show Monday.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. You know when this game came out on the schedule what the storyline was going to be. So we'll talk about Jimmy G when we come back. And I'll give you the perspective of San Francisco because I was on a show out in San Francisco yesterday as well. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O' Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh,